Greetings and welcome to episode 5 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. I've hosted two other podcasts. Some of you may or may not be familiar with those two. One called Geekly Dose, where we talked about everything geek, and also Republic City Report, a Legend of Korra podcast. So if you happen to watch that show and be into the Avatar, The Last Airbender universe, go back and check that out. You can find those podcasts on both iTunes as well as Stitcher.com. And as I said on last episode, Rock the Dragon is now on Google Play as well, so you have three options there, you know, Google Play, Stitcher, as well as iTunes. If you happen to be someone who just kind of floats between the three, if you'd like to go over to any of them and leave me a review or rating, that would be perfect. I did get a couple of ratings and reviews on iTunes. I'm going to read those a little bit later just to give you guys some shout outs for that. So thanks again for doing that. If you happen to have any questions or comments for me about the podcast, about Dragon Ball Z, etc., make sure you head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast so we can begin this conversation. With that being said, I do have a couple messages that I'm going to read from there also. So this episode, I'm probably going to fly through some of this a little bit fast. Specifically the episode talk, because, well, we get a lot of fighting this episode, right? We've been waiting for that. But the thing about, and my Republic City Report listeners are kind of familiar with this, the thing about the episodes where there's a lot of fighting, sometimes there's not a lot of stuff to, sort of dissect, right? So those conversations probably won't be as long unless there's something particularly cool, interesting that happens to develop throughout that fight. But for the most part, you know, it's a fight. But we'll go through this thing as cleanly and good as we can until we get something here that's really worth kind of breaking down. Oh yeah, and I also wanted to mention that I did get a couple of tweets regarding the podcast. It actually took me a while to realize that I even had these, because I don't really use Twitter very much. It just never really took off for me. I mean, I used to tweet and I don't know, I just kind of lost interest in it after a while. But if you're someone who happens to be a big Twitter user and you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at TimBridgewater1. That's cool. I also have an Instagram if anybody's interested in that. I mean, you know, I don't really post about Dragon Ball a lot. It's just kind of my general life. But if you're just interested in following along with that, well, you can look me up at Tim_Bridgewater on Instagram. Okay, so enough of all that plug shit, right? Let's get into this episode. We finally get some action going on here. This, of course, is going to cover episode 5, Showdown on King Kai's World, Goku versus Beerus the Destroyer. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say this because, you know, it's one of those things I just probably should just go ahead and get out the way now, right? Because, let me just go ahead and address this now. You know how it's typically been pretty hard to avoid spoilers in terms of Dragon Ball Super on the internet because, well, the Japanese version has been out for 80 episodes or something now. And one of the things that I did hear about Dragon Ball Super is that from time to time, the animation and the artwork get pretty shitty. Well, man, episode 5 here is pretty much where that kicks off. So if you watch this episode, you probably notice a huge dip in the quality of animation and the art here. I didn't think it was going to happen this soon. I knew it was going to happen. I didn't realize it would be, you know, 5 episodes in. And I especially didn't think it was going to happen on this episode. I mean, this is the first episode where we really get fighting in it again. So it seems like, if anything, you think that they would have tried to save a lot of the budget for this episode. Because this is not the best reintroduction into the fighting aspects of the Dragon Ball world, okay? Because let's be honest, that's the best part of it all. So I'm a little bit disappointed by that. Now, I've heard that it's already been improved in some ways, and that when they released the DVDs and all that stuff in Japan, that they have already sort of improved some of the animation. But, geez, man, like, it's pretty bad. The funny thing is that the episode doesn't really start off like that, but as it progresses and the fighting begins, you can just see this massive drop in everything. And I don't know why that is. I mean, there's usually some kind of business sort of a reason behind this kind of stuff. And I didn't want to risk trying to Google any information about it because I could end up getting spoiled even more so by doing that. But yeah, it's pretty shitty here, man. It's pretty bad. I mean, it, at some points it gets to like YouTube fan film quality. And that's nothing against those guys, but that's, you know, that's the best they can do with the resources that they have. You wouldn't expect that from a company that has essentially made millions and millions of dollars off this brand since it started. So I don't know exactly what happened with that, but I forgive you for it. Let's just hope that these kinds of episodes are just few and far between, because I was like shocked at how bad some of the animation here was. And to kind of revisit this world and revisit the fighting and have this kind of be the reintroduction to that aspect of the show was pretty sad. But anyway, so I just wanted to go ahead and, you know, talk about that, because that's the elephant in the room, and I just want to address that, and then we can kind of get back into the rest of this episode. So this episode, for the most part, is basically Goku and Beerus meeting for the first time. Okay, so we're kind of retreading a lot of the things that happened in Battle of Gods. So this is more or less an introduction between the two of them. Of course, Beerus is still looking for the legend, the Super Saiyan God from his dreams. Goku has never heard of it, but of course they do bring up the conversation of Super Saiyan, which obviously Goku is familiar with. So to kind of skip ahead, because once again, there's just a lot of banter here and we're kind of like retreading some of the same territory here. But what I do like about this episode is that it kind of gives us a reminder of the forms of Super Saiyan, which they also did this in Battle of Gods. We get to see Goku power up. And then, you know, immediately when he powers up to regular Super Saiyan mode, it once again, that breath of fresh air, right? It kind of reminds you of like, okay, here we go. It's this kind of stuff. This is the reason why we love Dragon Ball Z. We love to see the transformations. We love to see them power up, and etc. So, but of course, you know, before all of that, Goku being Goku, once he finds out that Beerus is, you know, the destroyer and how powerful he is, he wants to see an example of his power. So we get examples of the power. I mean, they pretty much have sort of this little sparring match sort of a thing that happens, but it's cool because it really does do a good job of giving us a good idea of how strong Beerus is, just in case him destroying like fucking planets wasn't enough. It's a pretty good job of showing on what his scale of power is as compared to Goku's, right? And even though I know there's still some inconsistencies there, because there's still a lot of plot holes in terms of how powerful these characters are and how powerful they should be by this point, and it becomes very hard to kind of measure a lot of this stuff, because I mean, hell, Goku powers up to Super Saiyan level 1 and expects to do something to Beerus about it. I mean, and that's how you know it's more from a writing standpoint that they decide to do that, right? It's like they're just trying to kind of, maybe as a fan service, remind us of Super Saiyan 1 and 2 instead of having him immediately go to Super Saiyan 3. Because once again, some people may have not seen this show in 20 years, and you just want to remind them, hey, remember this? Remember Super Saiyan level 1? Remember Super Saiyan level 2? Instead of, yeah, once again, just having him power directly up to level 3, it makes it a little bit more exciting, I guess, and for us to kind of see him gradually make his way back up to that level, even though it doesn't really make sense story-wise why he just wouldn't go automatically to level 3. But you know, because Goku's also pretty naive, right? And he's also kind of dumb at times. So maybe he's thinking, well, Super Saiyan level 1 will be enough. But I mean, come on. At this point, Super Saiyan level 1 wouldn't even be enough to be, you know, like Imperfect Cell. You know what I mean? Or somebody like that at this point. So it's like, why wouldn't you just immediately go to the higher level of power? But once again, you know, I think it's just a sort of a writing thing that they did just to kind of do a little fan service there and just kind of remind us of things. And I have to say this, I would have enjoyed a lot of this a lot more if we still had the freaking Bruce Faulkner music. Because those themes that have been associated with those levels of Super Saiyan would have enhanced these scenes that much more whenever he powered up, right? When he went Super Saiyan 1, we would have gotten a little bit of a teaser reminder of that Bruce Faulkner theme. The same thing with level 2, same with level 3. Goku never really had a Super Saiyan level 2 theme. I mean, it's funny because like he never had like an official, unless I'm forgetting something, and if I am, hey, by all means, head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast and let me know. But there was never an official Super Saiyan 2 transformation for Goku. He just kind of surpassed that. Now, maybe somewhere in the Buu saga before level 3, he did something, and I'm just not remembering. Go back and listen to episode 0 of the podcast. I went into detail about this there, but my memories on the Buu saga are very fuzzy because I didn't watch it that much because I didn't really like it. Okay? But yeah, Goku never really had like an official Super Saiyan level 2 transformation, I don't think. You know, at least not one that they made a big deal out of. You know, Gohan was the one to reach level 2 first, and gosh, they made a huge deal about that. And once again, still one of my favorite top 3 moments of the entire series. So there was no theme there, but there was definitely a theme for level 3 and level 1. So it just would have been nice to hear those again to kind of revisit that, but that's all right, you know. It's okay, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of legal reasons why they couldn't do that. Now they're just keeping, and it's cheaper, right? It's cheaper. They can just keep all the Japanese music instead of hiring an American composer to redo everything and having to pay him money too, right? So I get it. I get why they're doing it. But yeah, so it's somewhere around this point during the fight aspect of this episode where the animation just starts to look pretty fucking terrible. Wow, yeah. I was really surprised by that. I don't remember that happening in Dragon Ball Z at all. Like, I don't remember any specific episode where I could just clearly see a decline in everything. So I don't know. If anyone wants to kind of fill me in on that, if you happen to have any information on it, head over to Rock the Dragon Podcast on Facebook and let me know. And because of that, I couldn't really enjoy this fight scene as much as I probably would have enjoyed it otherwise, because I was so distracted by how bad it looked. You know, I'm thinking to myself, this is our first time really getting back into the action in this world, and we have to kind of experience it like this. And it sucks, and I'm sorry, but it, you know, but basically, you know, we do get an attempt at a cool fight here. Obviously, it's not going to be that much, because I think what they were trying to really establish with this is that they're just trying to show us how powerful Beerus is. So powerful to the point where level 1 Super Saiyan, level 2 Super Saiyan, and level 3 Super Saiyan pretty much don't do anything against him. Which is crazy, right? Because we talked about this before. The power levels have gotten so insane in this world to where, you know, if level 3 doesn't do anything, then you know this guy's ridiculously strong. But that is the nature of Dragon Ball. It's always about a bigger, stronger threat surfacing. And that's exactly what happens here. And I get that. It's kind of annoying after a while, but, you know, they pretty much do what they have to do. So, you know, eventually he does power all the way back up to Super Saiyan level 3 for those of us who forgot what that looked like. It was never my favorite form. I mean, I think Goku looks cool like that, but it was just never, it seemed a little bit overkill with the hair, right? I always liked the shorter Saiyan blonde Super Saiyan hair, but it's cool. The question that what I'm wondering here is, and obviously if you know the answer to this, then don't tell me because it'll be a spoiler, but I'm wondering if this will be the last time we see these levels of Super Saiyan. Because once he reaches Super Saiyan God, is there even a reason to go back to the previous levels? Other than a situation like this, where they just kind of want to remind us or just kind of, you know, say, hey, remember how cool this transformation was, which does tend to hurt the writing aspect of things. But I can appreciate as a fan, just getting to see that again. I hope this isn't the last time, because I'd like to see it all with better animation. You know, I'd like to see this. And once again, I did read somewhere that they have already redone these episodes with better animation. So by the time this comes out on Blu-ray in the United States, this should be a lot better, which is great. But it's pretty risky putting this on TV, because this is the United States debut. And I don't know if you really want to start off with something like this. So there's not really much to mention here in this fight, other than, you know, Goku pretty much goes full force on Beerus and pretty much does nothing. I mean, Beerus just avoids everything. He dodges everything. You know, it's typical Dragon Ball. I can't even hit him. He's moving so fast. I mean, but it's like how these characters reached these levels a long time ago, to where they were moving at the speed of light. So how much faster can you be than that at this point? Once again, this is a problem with creating a universe that's not consistent in its power levels, and frankly doesn't do a good job of keeping those levels sort of topped off, you know? But hey, it's Dragon Ball, we gotta love it. I'm still gonna watch it. So yeah, eventually Beerus just knocks Goku out, you know, takes him out with like two hits. And once again, you know, that lets us know he's way more powerful. For those of you who didn't see Battle of Gods, maybe this was a shocking moment for you, and you're like, holy shit, Beerus is way more powerful than we realized, for him to just beat the hell out of a Super Saiyan 3 Goku like it's nothing. But what's cool about it, you know, is that that happens, and he actually mentions Vegeta, right? So he's saying, well, maybe, you know, maybe Prince Vegeta can let us know about this Super Saiyan guy, because at this point, Beerus obviously knows that there are a couple of Saiyans left. And what I really like about this is that we get a moment where King Kai actually contacts Vegeta. I'm pretty sure it happened in Battle of Gods too. But that's something that we just didn't see, right? Like, that never happened before. You know, Goku was always the one in contact with King Kai. So just seeing King Kai contact Vegeta is interesting enough in itself. And it's kind of fun, you know, because Vegeta has an attitude the entire time. But it's just a different dynamic. And I like it, because he realizes that that's the next person he needs to reach out to. Not only because Vegeta's the person who's probably the strongest on Earth at the moment, since Goku isn't there. Vegeta's also one of the proudest people, who would be the first one trying to challenge and give Beerus attitude. So he's trying to, you know, guard him, give him a heads up, let him know to chill out. Beerus is coming, and he's a god, and he can easily destroy the entire planet Earth if he wants to. So to just kind of be cool about things. Meanwhile, Goku is just kind of, you know, laid out, beaten up, still thinking of ways that he could possibly challenge Beerus, even though at this point he doesn't really have a reason to. I mean, there's no reason to believe right now that Beerus is a threat, other than just being someone who is capable of destroying Earth. He's not really doing it, but Goku being the fighter, he's not necessarily going to do it, but Goku being the proud Saiyan that he is and the fighter that he is, of course he's thinking, you know, well, can I merge with Vegeta and beat him? And meanwhile, King Kai is like, oh, you're not even listening to me? Like, you know, you can't pose a threat to Beerus. But it also makes Goku think. He's starting to think, well, what is this Super Saiyan God exactly? Is this a new level of power that I can achieve? So that's probably one of the most important things that come out of this episode, is that the thought of the Super Saiyan God is now on his mind. And you know, these Saiyans, once they know for a fact that there's a higher level of power to achieve, you know, that's, they pretty much become obsessed with that. So that being said, here we go. We're kind of getting into the meat of this, sort of the meat of this saga now, where things are starting to pick up, because Beerus is on his way to Earth and Goku knows that he's going. Vegeta is aware that he's going as well. So, you know, this is kind of where things will hopefully start to get exciting, and hopefully they'll bump this animation budget back up in the next few episodes. You know, because, I mean, geez, after watching Battle of Gods, I mean, which looked incredible. I mean, I mentioned this in episode zero of the podcast. I was a little bit bothered by it because it kind of took me by surprise because I was just used to watching, you know, almost 80s level quality or so Dragon Ball. But now I'm missing that thanks to this episode. So, yeah, hopefully things will get better there. So that about does it for the episode talk. So at this point, I'm going to transition over and read a couple of messages that I got here. Remember, and I am looking for a name for the message email segment. It's an idea that I got from Republic City Report, which was a Legend of Korra podcast. So I called that segment Correspondence because it made sense. Kind of tied in. It's kind of fun. I'm looking for suggestions for a name for that segment for this podcast, something Dragon Ball Z related. And I did actually get one from Brent, one of my regular listeners. Thank you very much. I'm going to read Brent's message here where he gives me a suggestion for a name. And he also has a couple questions. So let's go ahead and get into that. This is from Brent. Listen to the episode 4 podcast this afternoon. Great episode. For the male name, the thought came to me of Saiya male. Besides the obvious Saiyans and Gohan's Saiyaman, it's kind of an interesting play on how you say Saiyan and comes out sounding like Saiya male. It came to me a little bit after listening to your podcast, haha. Okay, I'm going to address that real quick before we get to the rest of it. Saiya male. I feel like that's really hard to say. It's really hard to say. Saiya male. Get it? yeah, Saiya male. Saiya. It's always been kind of weird when people kind of take the word Saiyan and like I've always kind of felt that way about Saiyaman too. I feel like Saiyaman was kind of a weird name for that character, right? The great Saiyaman. I don't know. It just seemed like kind of a stretch. There's always been something that's been a little bit weird about that. I don't know if it's just, you know, the dialect of it or the pronunciation of it or something. I'm not shooting that down, but I will say that that's the first and only suggestion that I've gotten. So let's get a few more in there before we decide on anything. But Brent, obviously, thank you so much for your suggestion. Let's move on here to the rest of your message. It says here, for a question going along with the Saiyaman theme, and I think you might have briefly touched on it a little bit in episode zero, but what do you think of Saiyaman, and do you think Gohan still does it in Super? I've been trying not to look ahead, and I remember there's a small part in the God of Destruction movie, but just like how the location changed for Bulma's party, that Saiyaman part might not even show up. I personally thought the poses were stupid, but when he goes Super Saiyan with sunglasses on and his uniform at the World Martial Arts Tournament, I thought he looked badass. First of all, Brent, yes, no, I agree. That was actually, you know, I kind of gave the great Saiyaman a hard time before. It's really that saga that I didn't like. Just the episodes of him just fighting crime and stuff, I just thought it was kind of lame. As far as how he looks, though, I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird because he had like a bandana and sunglasses, but we got to remember that this is like an early 80s version of a superhero. I think it would be cool now if they maybe updated that costume to make it look more modern or something. That might be a cool thing because, yeah, I do have to say I was spoiled on that. Great Saiyaman does show up again in Dragon Ball Super. I've been trying to do is, you know, sometimes I'll just, if you notice on the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast, every time I post a new episode, I would post a screenshot from the episode and kind of put some titles on it and stuff like that just to help it stand out so you know the new episode is up. Well, in order for me to get those images, I have to Google Dragon Ball Super, right? And, you know, I've seen some things that I should not have seen. you know, and I won't say what they are because I don't want to spoil it for any of you guys who maybe don't know. But I do know that Great Saiyaman does return at some point. But that's probably not the biggest spoiler because this series only takes place a couple months or so after the Buu saga. So it stands to reason that his alter ego as that character will probably still show up at some point. But I definitely agree with that moment during the World Tournament when he's powering up and his cape flies off and all that stuff, and he's just standing there with like the green and black. You posted a screenshot here of it. That was awesome. I agree with that. I can't really give too much of a, you know, my thoughts on the possibility of Sammon showing up again, because I know that he does. So sorry about that. Okay. Let's see. We also have a message here from Brent. Brent. Steven. Steven is one of my regular listeners as well. I'm going to go ahead and read your message here. Hey, Tim. Great episode as always. Loved your answer to my question. I never watched any of the movies besides The History of Trunks and Bardock, but I'm definitely going to get the film collections once I'm done rewatching the series. So for some of the questions you posed during the show, I'm not a huge fan of Pilaf either. His crew and scenes are usually pretty juvenile, but I can see that they're trying to pay tribute to the original Dragon Ball, so I tend to let it pass. I agree that these first few episodes have been pretty slow, but I appreciate that we know that the arcs won't be as stretched out as DBZ, and with Beerus' arrival at the end of episode 4, I suspect we'll be getting into the meat of the arc now. I wish I hadn't seen the movies going into this, but at least we only have to deal with it for the first two arcs. Here's another question I'd like to hear your take on. Now that Super is effectively erasing GT, is there anything from GT that you'd like to see revamped and introduced in Super? Awesome question, Steven. Awesome question. So, I tried to think about this, but the problem here is that I've only seen Dragon Ball Super once, okay? And that was the very first time that I saw it. Once again, go back to episode 0 for a lot more information on this, but I do own GT on VHS, the entire series. But it's very hard to remember things about it because A, I've only watched it once, and B, it wasn't very good, right? But some of the things that I do remember that probably weren't the worst possible thing is that I do recall at some point Android 17 came back. He was called Super Android 17, and his hair was longer. He looked pretty badass. I would not be opposed to some sort of resurrection of 17 at some point if they find a very creative way of doing it. That would be cool. Something else, I do remember the character of Baby. It was like some weird alien thing, and some of that was kind of dumb. But when he possessed Vegeta, it kind of made for a cool character. I remember the character design of that being not the worst. And I remember him turning into a big baby Azaru Super Saiyan thing. That was actually kind of cool too. It reminds me of a video game actually that I used to own. It was a Dragon Ball GT game. I don't remember exactly. Final Bout, that's what it was called. You know something? That's something else I didn't mention. In episode 0 of the podcast, I talked about some of the things that I own Dragon Ball related. I didn't mention the video games that I currently own or have owned, and I won't go into too much detail about it. I mean, if you guys want, I'll do a completely separate podcast episode just talking about that, but I need to get a lot of requests for that, so I'm going to need more people to write in, because you know that's going to take some extra time for me to make that and revisit those games and talk about it. But I would love to do it. I just need your feedback, and I need to know that you want it. But I do remember in that game, it was a Dreamcast game, the final boss, something like that, was Baby Vegeta. And that's one of the things that I think would be cool if they try to find a way to bring it back in a creative way. Other than that, I don't think so. I mean, I think everything else in GT was pretty bad. Once again, I don't remember everything. I do remember, I did think that even though the whole Black Star Dragon Ball thing was not something that I liked, I did think it was kind of cool that there was a different like dragon for each ball that they had to fight. I mean, some of the concepts there were cool. The execution of that kind of stuff maybe wasn't the greatest, but the concept was good. So there were some concepts in GT, and I can't remember everything right now that worked, but most of it didn't. I remember there being sort of like a floating robot sidekick. No, we don't need that. nothing like that. But other than that, I honestly don't remember much. And a lot of that stuff I just didn't really like. So hopefully that answers your question to some extent. Another thing that I wanted to mention here, and this was some information that I got from Brent. Just a fun little side Dragon Ball story here. Dragon Ball in the news right now is that the original actress for Goku. For those who don't realize this, Goku has been voiced by a female in Japan for like, you know, a couple decades, and it's been the same voice actress the entire time. So she was recently awarded with a Guinness World Record. I'm going to read a brief little story here about it just so you can kind of understand what's going on here. It is titled Dragon Ball, Goku Voice Actor Nabs Guinness World Record. Goku is one of the most legendary anime characters of all time, and the voice actress for him recently received a world record for her work. The infamous Masako Nozawa has been the voice of Goku since the beginning, starting back in 1989 with the original Dragon Ball Z series. She has been voicing characters in the series ever since, and was not only the voice for Goku, but also all the male members in Goku's family in all three Dragon Ball anime series. She has also been the voice behind all of the Dragon Ball video game series as well. Masako is one of the most revered voice actresses of all time because of her work on the hit anime since the 1960s. She is called the Eternal Boy by Japanese fans because her well-known roles playing male roles, specifically younger boys. She is also the voice behind the legendary cat Doraemon, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, who is Japan's anime ambassador. The veteran voice actress was honored yesterday with not only one but two Guinness World Records. She was recognized as the current record holder for the longest time voicing a single character in video games, and also for the longest time working as a voice actor in video games. She has been voicing characters in Dragon Ball games for 23 years and 218 days, according to the official record. Nozawa's video game work first started in 1993 with the Dragon Ball Z Super Butadan game on Nintendo's Super Famicom. Masako Nozawa was officially presented with the Guinness World Records Award at a ceremony in Tokyo on January 31st, 2017. Big congratulations from Rock the Dragon Podcast to Masako Nozawa. Although I am not as familiar with the Japanese version of the show, I have watched many, many episodes. For those of you who happen to pick up the Dragon Ball Z Funimation release on DVD, I'm not sure if the Blu-rays have this. They may do. But I know for sure that DVDs, you have the option of having the English dub or the Japanese dub. You can also have the English dub with the Japanese music, or the English music. It's very cool how they gave us those options on there. And for fun, yeah, every now and then I will watch the episodes in Japanese just to see how different they are. Big congrats to her. That's incredible to have a career doing anything for that long, let alone being a voice actor for a great, phenomenal series such as Dragon Ball. So big congratulations out to Masako. And thank you very much, Brent, for sharing that information with me. Siri, I am not talking to you. Please ignore that. I don't know what the hell just happened. Apparently, there was something there. Okay. But no, that's very cool. Very cool. So if you would like to leave me a message, you want to share any information for me, make sure you head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. I mentioned this before, the page is not growing at all. That's okay though, because it's really not any indication of how well the podcast is doing. But if you have the time and the interest, you want to go over and like that page, go ahead and give it a like. I'm not going to really do much posting on there unless people like it. And if you don't want to, I mean, it's okay. I'd much rather you listen to the podcast. So what's more important is that you do that. So make sure you head over to iTunes, Stitcher.com, Google Play, leave me some reviews, ratings, etc. I said that I would read a couple of the reviews that I have received over there just to give you guys a shout out and say a huge, huge thank you to you guys for giving me ratings. I got a 5-star rating here from Brenty G. I'm going to assume that this is the same Brent that writes into the show a lot. So Brent, thank you very much for the rating. 5-star rating there. It says, like the show and glad to hear someone who, as an adult, is getting back in a DBZ 10 years later like me. Brent, thank you very much for that. Got another 5-star rating here. It says, it's over 9,000. Thank you very much, buddy 123190, for saying that. As a longtime DBZ fan, I was ecstatic when I found out we were getting a dub of the new series Super. Tim does an excellent job breaking down these new episodes and sharing his own unique take and insight. Thank you so much for that, buddy. I definitely appreciate it. I hope you guys are sharing these with your friends. If you know anyone who happens to watch Dragon Ball Super or Dragon Ball Z that may enjoy the podcast, make sure you pass along to them. If I get any further reviews, I'd be happy to come on and read those on air anyway. Thank you guys so much for that. It's kind of the best way we can get this podcast to grow is really through iTunes ratings and reviews. So if you appreciate what you're hearing, you want to take a moment to leave me a review, I certainly would be ecstatic about that. So I want to remind everybody, because once again, every day, every week, I'm getting closer and closer to starting Tim Bridgewater Geek, which is going to be a whole other project that I have going. So if you enjoy my perspective on Dragon Ball Super, imagine hearing me talk about all kinds of geek shit, right? Movies, TV, cartoons, video games, etc. If you were a listener of Geekly Dose, then you probably remember that I did that over there, but this is going to be very different. This is going to be me. This is going to be me on YouTube, creative content. I'm going to create all kinds of fun little videos. I'm going to do reviews, geek stuff. It's going to be huge. It's going to be great. Make sure you head over to facebook.com/Tim Bridgewater Geek. Also, youtube.com/Tim Bridgewater Geek. You want to go like the Facebook page. You want to subscribe to the YouTube page, because I am a couple weeks out, maximum, of before releasing all that stuff and starting. I got something really cool coming. I'll just give you a little taste here. If there are any Power Rangers fans out there, you know that there's a movie coming out, right, in March. Well, hell, I have to get back on YouTube in time to talk about that. And not only am I going to talk about that, but I'm going to talk about, I actually started writing a Power Rangers script years ago for a movie reboot. I want to talk about that. I want to compare what I wrote to what I've seen so far of this movie. So a lot of interesting conversations there to be had. And no one else knows this. This is a tip, hint, bonus for listeners of Rock the Dragon podcast. Okay, so I'll be coming back with that pretty soon, and then it'll be weekly, several videos a week at that point. So if you like it, hell, you want to head over there and like those pages and be ready for the reveal / release of that. So I think I pretty much talked myself to death here. So that about does it. I will see you guys next week. So for Rock the Dragon Podcast, until next time, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I'll see you then.